Well, I hope you all had a happy 4th of July celebration. I'm sure some of you had a barbecue or gathered with other friends in the neighborhood. Also, the children were excited about the fireworks and the weather seemed to cooperate for that. But I also hope that you took some time to think about our country and to reflect back at the time when we had that official signing, adoption of the Declaration of Independence, and what God has given to our country since then. I fear that many people have forgotten this. ABC News recently took a poll of teenagers. So of the teenagers, 15% thought we declared independence from France. 5% thought we rebelled against the tyrannous Canadians. 15% did not know there were 13 colonies. 9% did not know that July the 4th was the day the Declaration of Independence was adopted, and let alone that America had already been at war for almost a year with the battles of Bunker Hill and Lexington and Concord. While this may have been a poll among teenagers, I wonder how many adults do not even know this basic history. When we do not know our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And for us, that means going back to tyranny, back to a dependence upon some foreign or tyrannical power. So let's think for a minute. On July the 4th, 1776, our forefathers did adopt that Declaration of Independence. In one sense, they committed a great act of treason against Great Britain. On the other hand, they took a great leap of faith, trusting Almighty God. Thomas Jefferson, who composed the document, himself being a graduate of that great college of William and Mary, makes four references to God as the lawmaker, the creator, the supreme judge, and the protector. Perhaps the most famous statement in the Declaration is this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Notice that that argument for independence rested upon our dependence upon God. God is the Creator. God is truth, and therefore the source of all justice. God has put a design in this world, but also a design for us to live, how we ought to live with God and God's truth. Therefore, we do have these inalienable rights, which are self-evident, not simply because God has specifically revealed them, but because they can be known by reason. God's truth is of reason. God is reasonable. And so we call this the natural law. Not simply a Catholic term, Aristotle even talked about the natural law. This law that is written within our human heart, a law that can be known by any person who is honest using reason. For instance, think of the Ten Commandments. The last seven of those Ten Commandments can be known by anyone, even an atheist. They make sense. Who wouldn't say that respecting legitimate authority, especially in a family, mom and dad, and not killing, committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, not coveting, are good for a functioning society? Yes, God revealed them to Moses, the Ten Commandments, but any human being using reason can know those laws. That's the natural law. So when Jefferson and our founding fathers spoke about these inalienable rights, especially life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those were rights that were inscribed on our heart. Yes, ultimately, the source is God, but can be known through reason. Nevertheless, our founding fathers knew the importance of God's role in governance. Consider some statements, just briefly, from our first four presidents. George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. John Adams: "Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other." Jefferson: "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God?" James Madison: "Before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe." Yes, our country was found on principles of truth, but those truths ultimately are founded in God, God's wisdom, God's truth. Granted, there's always been a struggle at times in our country. It's almost like our first passage when God tells Ezekiel, "Go out to that rebellious house of Israel, to those obstinate of heart." Here Israel had been given so much, and yet they forgot the covenant. They broke the commandments. They even worshiped false gods. And God said to Ezekiel, "Call them to repentance and conversion." So even in the struggles of our country, Christians have been called to take on that role of the prophet when the country, particularly the government, has gone astray, to bring it back to the truth. So, for instance, we had slavery. We all know that. And yet it were the Christians who said, "This violates human dignity." Abraham Lincoln referred specifically to the natural law when he argued against slavery. It violated the dignity of the human being. And even using reason, we knew this was wrong. After the war, the end of slavery, then we had segregation. And the Supreme Court, just as it ruled that a slave had been a piece of property, never forget that, the Supreme Court ruled that in 1896 that segregation was constitutional. Separate but equal was constitutional. And so we had segregation right here in Loudoun County. Yet, great Christians fought against segregation, including Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And when he wrote his famous letter from the Birmingham jail, he invoked the natural law. He quoted from St. Thomas Aquinas. Yes, through reason we can know, because of our dignity as a human being, segregation was wrong. And then came 1973, and the Supreme Court ruled in Roe v. Wade that the unborn child is a non-person, not a human being. Not a being, not a person until birth. Yet, don't we see by now how that defies reason? After all, science shows us that at conception we have DNA, and we're the same person. We've just added growth to ourselves, same person who was conceived. Doesn't medical technology now show us that a child that's born prematurely after 5 months in the womb can still survive in a neonatal care unit, or a child in utero can even have a surgery to correct some problem? Doesn't our technology have three-dimensional sonogram color imaging so that a mom and dad can see this is a baby who's alive? And yet, we cloud our reason. Yes, there's still the problem, but faithful Christians to this day continue to say, to prophesy, life is sacred from conception until natural death. And now we know, just last week, the Supreme Court ruled that marriage is now not between a man and a woman simply, but rather can be between two men, two women. Defies reason, defies the natural law. And this is why in the statement read last week, Bishop Laverty, as well as Bishop DiLorenzo, the Bishop of Richmond, said, "We are deeply distressed by this decision, which fails to uphold marriage as the union which united one man and one woman. This fundamental institution grounded in natural law predates any religion or nation." Well, consider this, my brothers and sisters. When we lose reason and we just rely on sentiment, when we lose this idea of the natural law and what is true and good in God's eyes, we're doomed. Aristotle said, the slightest deviation from the truth leads to a multitude of errors, and errors lead to disaster. So little wonder, this week in Montana, a man filed a lawsuit to legalize polygamy. And why not? Read the Supreme Court's decision about marriage? Why not? It's all about feeling. Why is it that now courts are saying that if you feel like you're a boy, even though you look in the mirror and you're a girl, or vice versa, you feel like a girl even though you look in the mirror and you're a boy, that's okay. You have the right to become a boy or a girl, whatever the opposite is, this transgender idea. Fairfax County is going to start teaching in seventh grade this idea of gender identity. What's that all about? Little wonder. Kids don't know who they are. Take it further, though. There's now a woman, 25 years old in Sweden. You can Google this if you want. She thinks she's a cat. She's wanted to be a cat since she was 5 years old. She dresses like a cat. She eats cat food. She acts like a cat. Who's to say she's not a cat anymore? Or you think of the woman who worked for the NAACP. She was white. She called herself black. Well, what's the big deal? She thinks she's black. Let her be black. Well, I remember when I was a little boy, I wanted to be an American Indian. And I had the outfit. I had the war bonnet, the tomahawk, bow and arrow. I had a teepee. I was 5 years old. And I said to my mom, Mom, aren't we American Indians? And she said, honey, your great-grandparents came over from Germany and Austria. There's no way we're American Indians. But I guess today I could say I'm Big Chief Saunders if I wanted to. And people would have to accept that. We've lost all sight of human reason. And where is it going to lead? It's going to lead to disaster. It's like we're living in the theater of the absurd with a new production of The Emperor's New Clothes. Well, Abraham Lincoln said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. But my brothers and sisters, we should not despair. We should hope. But we need to remember, you and I are called as Christians to play the role of the prophet, to go to the rebellious house of our country, to go to the hardened of hearts, and to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. We need to preach that truth, not just by our words, but by how we live. What we need today are good Christian examples, good Christian men and women who are really striving to be saints. We need holy marriages between a man and a woman. We need holy families that are really trying to live the gospel, because that will bring about the conversion. When it all crumbles, people will look and see there's hope. Just like when the barbarians invaded the Roman Empire, it was the church who saved Western civilization. So here's the challenge for us. Now, will it be easy? No. Jesus was rejected in his hometown. And St. Paul, who writes from prison, says, I face this hardship, but I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and constraints for Christ. But when I'm weak, I'm strong because I have the grace of Christ in me. So never forget, Christ is with us. But we must not fear. We must be the prophetic witnesses to proclaim the truth, basic truths in our world, because it is that truth by which we really will know life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Only when we adhere to the truths of God will we have life, liberty, and happiness. May God bless you.